You know, this matter of healing, Barbara, has been kind of a mystery to a lot of people, and I believe the scriptures we give today and some of the stories we're going to give and illustrations will clear up some of that mystery so that people can reach out and receive their healing.
That's right. So many times we believe that Jesus came to bring us salvation. First of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the main reason Jesus came, and also to do away with the works of the devil. I mean, he came to bring peace on this earth and to do away with what the devil had done. But he also came, Darren, you're right, to heal. And we're going to get into Matthew, where right after he comes down off the mount, when he teaches the Beatitudes for three whole chapters, there are people there waiting to be healed. They don't care what else Jesus does. They hurt. They have bodies that are sick. They cannot do what they want to do, and they want to be healed. And I thought we could go into Isaiah 9 here, first of all. Well, you want to pray first?
Yes, I do. And I want to pray. And one part of the prayer that I want to pray today is that we will realize that God has great confidence in his ability to do what he said he could do.
Oh, that's right.
And we're going to show you that in prophecy and how it came true, you know, from the prophet Isaiah on into the New Testament. But that's one key thing we need to have in our mindset, that God can do what he said he was going to do. He has great confidence in his ability to do, because he made some profound promises.
Mm-hmm.
So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we meet here today with our friends, and we meet today with this wonderful concept of healing. Father God, that is so real and so true and so genuine. And Lord, today I know that you have great confidence in your ability to be able to perform what you said you could perform prophetically. And today, even right now, as we're listening to this message, we can be healed. We can reach out and have breakthroughs and get healed. So I thank you, Father God, for the revelation knowledge that's piercing deep into our hearts, into our minds, way down in the innermost part of ourselves. We're receiving a revelation of who you are and the miracle, God, that you are to us, a miracle Father that is always there to heal us when we need healing. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.
Amen. I'm so excited, Darren. This last teaching we taught about healing in the Old Testament, and now we're going to see how this prophecy about Jesus that we talked about in Isaiah 9, how this prophecy is going to come true. We're going to see the Son of God, who has been talked about in the Old Testament, come to the earth and live among us. And in Isaiah 9, we know this so well, Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." We've heard it over and over sung in the Messiah. "And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is the verse here that I'd like to bring out. "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." We see a Jesus, so many of us see a Jesus just in the spiritual. And we say, well, it's okay to go to church, and it's okay if my Jesus is in the spiritual, but I don't want him messing in the other part of my life. And we have to have a Jesus that envelops every realm of our whole life.
Amen.
And that includes the physical, where we live, how we're governed, because this Jesus prophesied in the Old Testament is going to be the ruler someday of an earthly kingdom, but he's also the ruler of a heavenly kingdom. And we have got to take it that he is going to rule and reign in the physical, in the spiritual, in the emotional, in every part of our being. Every part.
And I would add to that physical, financial, I mean, I'd put the
yes.
whole thing in there. But we've got to know Jesus not only as a spirit man, but also as a natural man, because he was not only Son of God, he was also Son of Man.
That's right.
He was the incarnate one.
Yes.
He was God-man. Now, when I read through scriptures, Barbara, I'm always looking for the ways of God. And I want to jump over a little bit ahead here to one of the ways of God in Mark 4.
Okay.
It says, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you beside." Now, some of you have listened to teaching of and preaching of unbelief. It says, take care what you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to those teachers that say it won't work unless that's the harvest you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, get that stuff out of your heart and out of your mind. Repent for sitting there in a service, and when you hear that stuff, you ought to get up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Or you ought to change the channels, or, you know, find a different radio station or whatever. It goes on to say, "For whoever has, to him shall more be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." So we have a lot to do with our own learning, and that learning and what we receive by revelation really decides on how much faith we're going to have and how much we can believe God to do what he said he could do.
Don't you believe, Darren, it's because a lot of us, and I'm talking about me too, because there was a time in my life that I just allowed Jesus into a small part of my being. And that was, Jesus, you come and you save me and you keep me from hell and damnation. But really, during the week and when I'm at my job and I'm doing my thing in the world, I really don't need you. And a lot of people, Darren, I believe they say that. They say, well, Jesus, on Sunday I'll get spiritual and I'll go and I'll sit and I'll listen about you, but I don't need you during the week. And I see that in a lot of people's lives.
Right.
When something happens then and they're going downhill or something crashes financially or in their body, then they get serious about Jesus. But most of the time, they don't even care.
Well, you know, we have hidden agendas all the way through the body of Christ. And I prayed for so many people and got down to it, and they basically said to me, well, if this doesn't work, I've got a great disability program.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe I could get a heart transplant or a liver transplant or a kidney transplant. You know, I can depend on my Blue Cross Blue Shield or my Kaiser Permanente or whatever my health care. Or, you know, the president is going to come up with a new health care thing, or they're going to have a breakthrough medically or something here. There's going to be a new drug or new operation for me. Folks, let me tell you, if you're thinking that, ask yourself, do I think that? Do I think that the end of all of the things, that the greatest challenge is going to be solved by medical science? If you do, you're putting something in there that keeps you really from going all the way with God in faith.
That's right.
You need to trust God first, and you need to trust him second, third, and last. He's got to be your first resort and your last resort if you're going to live in divine health.
Mm-hmm. We see in Matthew 3 when John the Baptist first appears out of the wilderness, and he's been trained to be the forerunner of Jesus and to prepare the way for Jesus to be introduced into the world. And he says to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized of John, and the first thing he calls these men are, you brood of vipers. And he says, therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance, because they were living according to the law, and they were putting heavy burdens on the people and great things that didn't need to be put on the people. He says, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. In a way, these Pharisees were saying, you know what, we have got a religion that'll keep us. And because Abraham established that he was a good man, so we're dependent on Abraham. We're going to lean on Abraham's belief here. And so what if we don't believe exactly like you do, John? We've got Abraham here. They were really depending on somebody else. And a lot of people today, Darren, they're saying, well, we have grandma and grandpa. We have mom and dad. They're big into the religious thing. I know some parents whose children are falling by the wayside because they, oh, mom and dad, they're the spiritual ones. They're the ones that are going to get us by.
And you know, on this healing business, even people that are in churches where they teach healing, they put the responsibility on the pastor, the evangelist, or the teacher of the Sunday school class, and
say,
well, you know, if I ever need something, I'll go and brother so-and-so will pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that may be true, but if you're going to get your healing appropriately and certainly keep it, you're going to have faith of your own in God's ability to keep his word. And you're going to have to know the Word of God. And don't wait for a crisis, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We get calls almost weekly from people that say, you know, I have a brother, I have a sister, a family member, a close friend. And what they end up telling us is they don't have any faith, but I want you to get them healed.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it comes down to having a healing miracle, which is what they're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when push comes to shove, what they're saying is, maybe I can get lucky here.
Oh, wow.
And maybe the preacher can get me a miracle and get my friend healed. Let me tell you, it doesn't work that way. You got to get into the ways of God, which means that a prerequisite for healing, a prerequisite for miracles here, is going to be faith in the Word of God.
That's right.
And if it doesn't work any other way, God will not. I don't care how much you're hurting. I don't care if here's a mother of five kids and she's about to die of something. God can't heal her without someone having faith on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's her.
That's right. And you probably will not get healed because you are depending on somebody else's faith.
Right.
Sometimes I've seen that happen in very rare instances, and we'll talk about one this morning. But usually that person needs that faith. There needs to be faith in that person that is being prayed for. And
now that means that person having their own faith.
That's right.
Now some people can, I just want to make sure you understand what we just said here. People can have faith in my faith or in Barbara's faith, but the one that needs to have the faith is the one that needs to receive the change in their physical body.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that need to have the faith. And folks, that faith is achievable. It you can acquire that.
Yes.
God wouldn't ask you to do something that wasn't possible. In Mark 11:22, he says, have the faith of God. that would tell you that it's possible to have the faith of God and you can't get it anyplace else.
That's right. And